Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
Everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 74. My name's Turner Sparks.
My name is Michael Kaplan.
This week on the podcast, we have the boss.
The boss is, he's going to come in and give us a talking to, I heard.
The man upstairs, the owner of Ince, the founder of Venmo, Ikram Magdon, Ismail, back on the pod.
The one and only.
The one and only. We had him on episode
four.
Was it four?
Episode four.
Episode four, we had him on. We realized that at that point, we had no idea what we were doing with the podcast. We didn't even know what the podcast was supposed to be about, really. And so we didn't talk. He's an immigrant. He came to America from Zimbabwe initially, and then he lived all over Africa and eventually came to the United States. We didn't even touch that.
Did not touch it. Did not even mention it.
Last time we had him on the podcast.
He was as American as apple pie in our podcast.
Exactly. And that eventually became what our entire podcast was about, this fish out of water idea. People who've lived in other cultures, experienced other cultures, comparing them to our culture. So we're going to have him on the pod. Right. We're going to try to do that this week.
I don't think the light bulb went off until we saw he's got a band called Ikram and the Immigrant Groove.
Yes.
And we saw that title. I'm like, all right, Immigrant Groove, you're an immigrant.
Exactly.
We should talk about that.
And they're playing at the Knitting Factory in New York City on March 17th.
Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day. I'm not sure why, but St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. I'm going to go.
Ruby's,
I got tickets.
Ruby's birthday, so I'm to be determined if I'm going to be there.
Kaplan's probably out.
Probably
I would
out.
Say, for his daughter's
Unless
birthday.
I bring Ruby.
Well, I have an extra ticket. Maybe I'll bring Ruby.
Yeah, she loves immigrant music.
And there we go. So, okay. But for all this, live podcast.
Yeah.
Our lineup is set March 14th. That is a week from today, next Wednesday.
Oh, shit. That's soon.
That's pretty soon. We're going to be back at Stand Up New York doing a live show.
All right.
Here's who we have. You ready for the lineup?
Yeah.
So previously we announced former podcast guest Des Bishop. Comedian Des Bishop, a headline comedian, tours the world. I also knew him in China. We're going to be talking to him more about our days back in China. We have returning guest Anthony DeVito, headlining comedian.
Great dude.
Anthony DeVito. He and I realized in the middle of the last podcast that we went to college together.
You're going
to
spend this live pod just going down memory lane, talking about all the same people you knew.
Well, no. Then I was also told a couple weeks ago by Misha Han. I was hanging out with Misha down at the Lantern. He told me that Anthony DeVito was a homeless person in Hawaii for a little while.
And that's something to talk about.
So we're going to talk to him about that. He's coming back on. Plus, then we're having Sherrod Small from the Race Wars podcast.
I'm very excited for him. Hilarious dude.
He's big time. Yeah, we're going to talk to him. I was on the Race Wars podcast a couple years ago, and there was an incident.
Ooh, can we talk about it in the air?
We're going to save it for the air.
We're going to talk about the incident.
We're going to talk about the incident.
Otherwise known as the incident.
Where Sherrod, I don't know if Sherrod's mad at me or not. I feel like he has been for the past year, but maybe he doesn't even remember it. We're going to find out live
in
front of an audience.
We do not pre-interview people, so we're going to find out with the audience.
I've not seen him since this date. I've seen him, but it's been we'll do it on the way.
We settle feuds.
We're going to settle a feud, if it's even a feud.
It's a huge
we're not
feud
sure.
in the comedy world. Everyone.
He might not know about it. And then also we're having Francis Ellis from Barstool Sports. So he went out and did my club. He went to Kung Fu Comedy Club a year or two ago.
He was with the Wonton Don, wasn't he there?
Yeah, together? With Ichiban Don, with Donnie Does.
Donnie Does.
From China, from Barstool Sports. They went out to China and did the club. So he's going to tell us about his trip to China. They're all these guys, they're also going to be doing stand-up comedy, plus doing interviews. It's going to be a blast. Plus, I'm going to be opening the show by doing some stand-up. I'm going to be telling some stories from the trip that are too hot for the pod.
Whoa.
Haven't told them on the pod.
And if you look like you're doing a really good job, I'll just hang out in the audience and I'll meet the two-drink minimum. And
you could send the audience a blue shirt,
I'll
eat a salad.
Oh, your salad?
Yeah, like eat it last
drink,
time.
And I'll hug you guys.
Oh, and also the best part of this whole thing, Joe Schaefer, the voice you hear at the beginning of every one of our podcasts that does our intro, he's going to be there to do that live.
Yeah, and maybe if you want him to record things for you, like announcements that you can play for people. Maybe we can get him to do that.
If you want to do your voice, away message on
your away message, answering machine
messages. Answering machine messages. He can talk into your phone.
He can answer it for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be killer. So get tickets to that. You can get them at standupnewyork.com. Also, we'll have a link on our Lost in America pod. We'll also have a link in this, in the notes to this episode.
Okay.
So look into your phone, press the link, get your tickets. Get them now. They're $10 through Saturday, March 10th. After that, they go up to $15 and then $20 on the day of the show. $10 with the promo code LOST. You have to put the
that
promo
code. That spells lost.
Lost.
In case you're a little slow over there.
That's it. Also, update, Cap.
Yeah.
Update on these fake Lost in America, losers in America.
They've fired off a few more episodes, I saw.
These pieces.
They have a whole new series. I'm not going to plug it, but I just did, I guess.
Yeah, don't plug them. All right, well, here's the update. Update's no update. We just got a message from our lawyer. He's working on
these lawyers move slow. I see why divorce. It takes like people. I know people take people years to get divorced. People who, like, they break up, they're done. You're like, your ex, and they're still technically married because lawyers just move really slow.
Because they hire people like Blue Shirt. Yeah.
I mean, we're trying to start a war here, and these people don't even know that we're warring with them because we haven't got our letter down.
We can't get word one out.
We can't. It's like the old days when you had to send a carrier pigeon to declare battle.
It's ridiculous. We just got word from Blue Shirt, his crew.
He's sending a member of his crew, a guy who's single. But
Blue Shirt 2. It's not even Blue Shirt.
No.
Blue Shirt 2 just sent us a message, and he said they're working on it.
Someone from the firm is on it. He's the best guy, though. He's known at the firm as the cease and desist guy. That's his nickname. He's a specialty.
So we got him working on it. So we'll have to save the update for next week.
Yeah. And hopefully, maybe in the live pod, we can just like call these jokers up and.
Maybe. Yeah.
Them.
We'll see. We'll see if we can get them on the air.
Yeah. Ooh.
Hello, Chinese. Last spot we do. Hello, Chinese. They're our new sponsor. They've been with us a couple weeks now. Yeah. We've gotten word back. People love it.
Yeah.
The world loves it. Teddy Kaplan loves it.
Hello, Chinese
is the world's. It's the number one app for learning Chinese. On Google Play, it's the number one app in the App Store, on iTunes, Apple, whatever that's called, for Mandarin beginners. If you want to learn Chinese, first of all, it's free. HelloChinese.cc. Go to their website. You learn all about it, but it's free.
It's free.
For the basics.
The basics. If you want to learn like how to say hi and stuff.
Exactly.
Like that.
Hi, hello. But then if you want to go a step further, which we all do,
right.
Now you get the premium. Now you get the extra. And guess what? If you want to go premium, at checkout, LOST, promo code LOST. We get a little taste. You get it. You get 15% off the premium. It's great for everybody. And what's cool about the app, which Teddy Kaplan's been on, it's almost like a video game.
Yeah. And it is. It's very like it's very well made, I will say that.
It's interactive.
Like, it's very interactive. Yeah, I'm really motivated to learn. This podcast has changed me. I went to a very authentic Chinese place the other day on my own when I was just walking by.
And you ordered in Chinese?
I went in there and I'm like, just for me, and they stuck me, I swear to God, it was a busy time of night, whatever. They stuck me in a closet. Like, I was literally, like, in, like, the worker's closet. Like, no respect.
Of course.
Like, I was like, if I would have walked in there and said table for one in Chinese, I just know I would have gotten, like, the best table in the house. So I am motivated.
I'll tell you one thing, Cap.
Yeah.
I've never been stuck in a closet.
You've never been stuck in a closet.
And that's thanks to Hello Chinese.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I learned.
You learned before there was an app.
I learned.
You were in a test case.
I was beta testing.
There was no smartphones when you were in China.
15 years ago. So that's that. All right, let's get to Lost in America because I got something on my mind.
Yeah, he's banging on the door here. I hear him. He's ready to get in here.
Ikram,
oh, wait, sorry. Never mind.
We got to save him. He's got to hang. The boss has to hang outside. Stay behind the glass.
Yeah.
I got Lost in America.
All right, Turner's got something to say, boss man.
All right, De'Aaron Roots, play the music. All right, we're back. Kaplan, I'm lost in America this week. Okay, I will tell you why. I was in a line the other day to use a restroom right here in gorgeous New York City. I'm in line. There's a men's and there's a women's. There's no line for the women's, unusual, but there's three guys lined up for the men's. So I wait in line for the men's. One guy goes by. Then another guy goes in. The third guy goes in. Now I'm next in line for the men's. Still no one for the women's.
What kind of establishment is this?
It's a bar.
Bar, okay.
Bar in New York. A woman comes up. She sees me in line for the men's. She sees no one in the women's, and she just gets behind me in line.
All right. Confused.
I'm confused. I go, oh, no, the women's go ahead. And she goes, oh, no, no, no. You don't wait. Just go. And she wants me to go use the women's. I think this is the new women's movement thing.
What?
And that we're all equal. We're all people. And now, and then it's like, because gender neutral.
Yeah, but if you walk into a women's bathroom at a bar, it's like a Me Too violation, too. So I'm confused.
No, there was no one in there.
How do you know there's no one in there?
It's these small one-person bathrooms, and the door's open. Okay. The door's open. So we can both see no one's in there. And she goes, no, just use it. And I'm like, nah, I'll wait on the men's. And she insists. She goes, are you kidding? Come on. You're in line in front of me. Just use the bathroom. So I go. I use it. I come out. Life's good. I realize this is the progress we've made.
Did you pee all over the seat?
I did.
Because you teach her a real lesson.
I wanted to
say that again.
I wanted to teach her a lesson, so I did. I did not. But I've learned that this is what, from gender neutral, start with the gender neutral bathrooms where, hey, we don't want to, you know, you don't want to ask someone if they're a man or a woman.
Right.
So we've gotten rid of the idea of men's rooms, women's rooms. I've got to say something, Cap. I love it.
You love this.
I love it because it's led to that. It's led to this idea that you don't have to wait for a women's restroom anymore. It's led to this idea. Have you noticed? Now, when you ever go to a gender-neutral bathroom, it's so much nicer than just a men's room. The men's room, there is piss all over the seat.
Well, because it's urinals. They're basically, this is going to kill the urinal industry.
Who cares?
Because
I'll piss into a toilet. No, the men's rooms now, or whatever the room, they're so much nicer. There's usually incense burning. Sometimes there's music. There's flowers. You never got that in just a basic men's room. You got piss on the seat. You got toilet paper was never there. Guys are yelling, cussing, spitting.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm curious is going to happen because, like, it's almost like an economic thing. Like, you want to bring, like, when we give healthcare to all, like, you're like, well, then at the top it's going to suffer a little bit, but it's for the good of society kind of thing. Like, women have always had nicer bathrooms. Men's are pigsty. So if we,
yeah.
But is the top going to come down? They're not going to be as nice as women's bathrooms used to be. We're going to slobber them up a little bit.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't going into women's bathrooms before, but I can say that our bathrooms have now gotten way better.
But it also means that nobody can ever take a dump in public again.
Not true. I do it all the time.
You're going to do it in a women's room?
It's not a women's room.
But it still says women outside. You still know a woman could use that room.
Doesn't matter.
You have the – well,
that's progress. That's equality. That's what equality means. I can dump anywhere. Also, Kaplan, come on. I lived in Asia. I've dumped in a shack, a bamboo shed on a river, into a river for years. You can do whatever you want.
So I don't know if you noticed, when you came with me to the Irishman rap party last week, we touched on in the podcast.
But Robert De Niro movie, the rap party.
Yeah, with Martin Scorsese movie. There's a bathroom there. It was a gender I was very confused by the bathroom there. It was an open door bathroom, and it was gender neutral.
I loved it.
But there was like a guard there who it wasn't like they were someone who gives you like a towel when you wash your hands. It was almost like they were like a door person to make sure like guys and girls didn't. I don't know, because it was like you can't really go in at the same time though, still, right? We're not at that point. There were two stalls. There was two stalls in the bathroom. So like, could a guy and a girl go simultaneously? They shut the door?
No, you're
Are
right.
Are we that far along? That's next.
You're right. No, that one was very weird because you're right. It was a single bathroom, so the assumption was that everyone could use it, men and women, right? It wasn't like there was two different bathrooms. There was just one. Yeah. And then I went and used it, and when I came out, there was a guy waiting there, and he was like just some guy waiting to use it, and he goes, "Hey, this is literally what he asked me." He goes, "Hey, what's in there?" Like, he was just so confused. And I was like, "Oh, just go ahead. It's a bathroom." But I think what it is, people are now, they've caught on to this this movement, and they want to save a little cash. You only have to build one bathroom now. You don't have to build two anymore. So yeah, that's a moneymaker for small business. So we're all for that.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much. I'm just thinking about the guy who works there, though. Like, you have to have a, you know, like, those people, those bathrooms where there's, like, an attendant. Those are always.
So you're saying that guy was more of a bodyguard to make sure men and women didn't go in at the same time?
You know, I went to the GLAAD Awards once, the gay, lesbian, you know, this.
Familiar.
And they had, like, I think they were ahead of this curve. So they had, the whole thing was, like, neutral bathrooms.
Yeah.
But then I got tossed from one. Someone told me not to go in. I'm, like, the only guy that wasn't allowed in the gender.
You should have called them and said they weren't a progressive. Because, no, I think it's great. I'm all for it. I'm all for the movement. I'm all for being able to, my bathroom's now better.
You're about, yeah.
And that's good for me.
Yeah, and it makes you improve your aim. So there's some pros to it. I will say,
though, lift the toilet seat up. I don't see why that's an issue for people.
You know, but the kids of America might reverse this trend. Because, like, my children are both very aware. Like, Teddy will not go in the women's room. Like, he's like, I'm a boy. I go M for men.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I talked about it when I took a school trip. All the boys were not going to go in the women's room. And
So you're saying, like, the pendulum swings. Now the high school kids are very progressive, but then
and Ruby,
kindergartners are very conservative.
I took the kids out last night for dinner, just me. And Teddy went to the bathroom. He doesn't even want me to go in with him. I need privacy. He goes in himself. But Ruby, I need to help her get in. I need to help her sit. But then there was a big debate, had a huddle up to decide which bathroom I take Ruby in, because it was like the one you're talking about. It was like a one-person bathroom.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I think I could take you into this woman's room. There's no one's bathroom. Because Ruby wanted to go to the woman's room. But then Teddy has veto power. He's like, no, Daddy, you can't go in the woman's room. You're a man.
And you listen to that?
I listen to my kids all the time. The other day, I was driving, and I was at a stoplight, and Ruby goes, drive, Daddy. And I drive. It was a red light. I drove through a red light with two children because my daughter tells me to drive. I just go.
You got to take the power. We need to get Russell Mintz back in here. You need to take the power back in your own family.
Well,
from
I don't
these
think
toddlers.
We'll, yeah, so anyway, so it's very. You're going to confuse my kids. They're very comfortable with their gender, they know what they got.
Well, that's the next generation.
Old
whatever the generation after millennials
they're
going to
think this generation is crazy.
Are apparently very conservative. All right.
Anyway,
Cap, Int is an app.
Yeah.
Very excited.
We're going to talk about that with our guest.
We got a guest, but you can get in the App Store. You can. It's up to 5-minute audio messages, recordings. We're going to be playing one. Because here's the thing. I'll be honest. We pre-recorded this interview.
Yeah.
We did it just a few minutes ago. So I can tell you for where you're going to hear an Int in the middle of the interview.
Yes.
Very exciting. I won't spoil it what it is. But you're going to hear it. Up to 5-minute audio message. You can get it. And you can get it in the App Store. You can get it possibly Google Play. I'm not sure if they have it now. It's the number one app in the world for Inting.
Yeah. Ints us at Lost in America or at Turner Sparks.
Yes, Turner Sparks.
So that we can get you on the air and answer your questions or anything you want to talk about. We'll play it. If you're funny, you have a good question.
Even if you hate us. Hate Ints us. When I was on the road in Asia, people were saying they missed our fans were saying they missed when we used to read hate mail.
Yeah.
So we got to read more hate mail or just hate Ints us. We'll take it. We love criticism.
And we have received some hate mail lately. We've been ignoring it. So we're going to get to that next week.
Ooh, next week we're playing the hate mail.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's it. Let's get to our guest, Ikram Magdan. Ismail Ikram, the boss from upstairs. Come on in. All right, we're back with our guest, Ikram Magdan. Ismail, the boss, the man from upstairs, putting his headphones on.
Yeah, he's come in to set the record straight. Check.
How you doing? We already checked. We're good.
I just wanna,
this is your studio.
I just put the headphones on. I want to see how I sound. Okay.
How do you sound?
I think I sound all right.
You're our first guest ever to wear the headphones.
That's true.
Yeah, we didn't know we had headphones. They've been sitting there this whole time.
You have to talk into the mic, though. I know. You suggested it when you came in. You're like, why don't you guys just use the headphones?
I like that.
So how's it going, Ikram?
It's going well.
We had you on episode. You checking your phone in the middle of our.
I don't know. People are answering me.
He's a millennial.
I'm looking for a question.
Do you have any questions come in?
No, not in real time.
That part will have already happened on the podcast.
Jennifer, okay. If you're listening, please answer us now. Oh wait, this comes out tomorrow.
You're a huge fan of Jennifer Miles Peak. She's your favorite answer.
She's my favorite.
Get right to that. One of our super fans.
Yeah.
Shout
A&P.
Out.
Conversation.
So wait, Ikram. All right, everyone knows you. So for anyone who doesn't, well, whatever. We talked about it earlier, but you. Beyond all the business stuff you've done, you were born in Zimbabwe, correct?
I was born in Zimbabwe.
I've known you for a year and a half now. We've literally never talked
about
it.
We've never talked about it. We only talk about...
I lived the first, I think, 9 years there of my
really?
Life. Then I moved to Uganda, and after that I moved to Zambia.
Whoa. I've been to Zambia.
And then I moved to Zimbabwe, to Zambia, to Uganda, and then I moved to Fairfax County, Virginia when I was 14.
All right, let's start at the beginning.
I want to get deep into Fairfax. That's the most interesting part of the story.
Wait, Zimbabwe?
Do your parents, are they from Zimbabwe, or where do they come from?
My parents are from Morocco and Sri Lanka, but they originated in Sri Lanka.
They were born in Sri Lanka?
Yeah.
And then why'd they move to Zimbabwe?
Because there was all kinds of war going on in Sri Lanka. It was like civil war.
Yeah.
And they were just like, the cost of bread was unaffordable.
When the cost of bread goes up. You got to keep moving.
Okay.
First rule.
So they moved. They moved. And
they went. Were they like refugees?
Where can I find cheap bread?
He looked at
Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe. Yeah, they found it. Were they refugees or what? What do you mean?
No, they weren't refugees. I mean, that's one way to
refugee
put it.
To
they're
Zimbabwe
now,
is pretty.
For sure.
Yeah.
They just thought that would be a good place to go.
It was like, yeah, they had to just get out. So my dad and mom, they kind of just jumped ship and bam.
How'd they pick Zimbabwe?
I think my dad got like some kind of civil engineering job, just like, you know, working on the roads kind of thing.
What was it like? So you were born in Zimbabwe, but as a is your nationality, was it from Zimbabwe? Or are you not allowed to if you're not born, like your parents aren't from there? How does that work?
Shit, actually, that's an interesting ends we could play. My dad actually, can I pull that up? Or how do you want to do that?
Sure.
My dad ensed me my entire birth citizenship.
Let's hear it.
Which is kind of interesting because I'm currently applying for dual citizenship to Sri Lanka. Because Zimbabwe doesn't allow dual citizenship.
What are you a citizen of now?
America.
Okay.
This is another great use of Ents, people, if you want to get your
let's do it.
So this is my dad, right?
Play the Ents.
Shout out.
Some information. When you were born in Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe had changed the law. They would not recognize you as a citizen of Zimbabwe by birth. You were a citizen of Sri Lanka because we were Sri Lankans at that time. I registered your birth with the Sri Lankan embassy in London, UK. You eventually got Zimbabwe citizenship by naturalization. Then, of course, you are no longer a Zimbabwe citizen because you are now an American citizen. And Zimbabwe does not have dual citizenship rights, unlike Sri Lanka. If you get Sri Lankan citizenship, then if you are interested, you will be able to buy property there without paying heavy duties and all that. And also, any other properties that Uncle Kamal or Uncle Ismet wants to give, they can give without paying duties and all that. Of course, Uncle Kamal's properties will go to Tariq and Jahan, but Uncle Ismet's things can come to you also. Okay.
So I'm in the running. I'm in the running if I get
shout out to
citizenship.
Kumar.
Yeah, Kumar. Those are my cousins.
It sounds like they're getting the property.
I know. But there you go.
Of course, if they want it. Okay, so that's how it works. So that was the same. If I was, if my wife, say I had an American wife, but I was living in China, I knew Americans living in China. Like, if they had a kid in China, there's no chance they would let that, the Chinese government would let that kid be Chinese.
Right. But if you have a kid, I mean...
Maybe they could, but they would have to give up.
But you have a kid
American.
In America with your wife. I assume you have a baby with her. The child will have Chinese citizenship? Or?
No. You can't have dual between America. Okay. China doesn't let you have dual. The same. If we had a kid in China and like my wife's Chinese, then you could. It could be Chinese.
But it would be good for the podcast brand if you renounce your American citizenship. Chinese.
Wait, what?
You should renounce your American citizenship then and go full Chinese.
Yeah, that's a great
idea. Good for your brand.
Well, now that they have a dictatorship, I think that'd be genius. A great time to do it now that Xi Jinping's not stepping out of power. So you were not, even though you were born in Zimbabwe, you were not born with Zimbabwe citizenship.
And I just found that out yesterday.
You just found that out.
I'm telling everyone I'm Zimbabwean.
Right.
I guess so.
You're born there.
Well,
what was it like growing up there? So you were there from age 0 to 9?
It's the greatest.
Did you go to, so you went to elementary school?
I wouldn't call it school.
What was it?
It was more like just I don't know.
Party?
Lots of drumming, dancing. But there was a period where I did go to like a British school, which I hated. So like I think the first few years, the first like 6 years are a little hazy.
Okay.
It was just a lot of that kind of shit.
That's everybody.
Which I love.
Right.
No traditional like.
If you saw Black Panther, you'd know what I'm talking about. But you didn't do your research.
And I'm the racist.
It's just a research on you.
Thanks,
I see Black Panther.
Thanks, my heritage. And you couldn't take the time to see the movie I love the most. Okay, so.
I can't tell the movie.
Seen What About Bob? Because that's the movie I love the most.
Have you seen Lady Bird?
Hey, you're interviewing me. I'm not interviewing y'all.
This is a discussion. An interview.
If you haven't seen Lady Bird, you hate.
Podcast, boss.
You hate Sacramento if you haven't seen Lady Bird.
Yeah, exactly. You're offending my culture.
We all just break up right now.
You're offending white private school kids.
This is like the Beatles
Sacramento.
All over
Have you
again.
Seen Fiddler on the Roof?
No, so the first, and then my parents decided, like, I think because my dad started making, like, a little bit of money, it was like, I don't even know. I don't even think he was making any money. That's the funny part about this. He's like, because my parents and their parents were obsessed with the British culture.
Okay.
Like, oh, my God, British people are the best. Like, my granddad wanted my brother, so his first grandson, which would be my brother, to marry, like, a British, beautiful, white dame. That was, like... what it was like.
Yeah. That was the dream.
That was the dream.
That's the dream everywhere.
Now the dream is to marry an American dame or something.
Yeah. Was that because, did you guys get a lot of like British TV and colony?
Yeah, well, they were the first to colonize and the Dutch came in.
The Dutch and the British, yeah.
I think Portugal before that probably. But
so the British were seen as good, the Dutch were seen as evil, sort of?
No, I think the Dutch also.
The British have most better accents.
Most people like the Dutch too. But so the British definitely have those romantic films that make it seem, you know, like we've probably seen one of those,
and they always seem
like,
smart.
And I'm like, is this going to be my life? That sounds pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
So my parents decided that in order to school me, they would put me in a British school because that's quite possibly the best school. This is after, I would say, the first 5 years of public whatever education was. So I did that for like a year. I couldn't even last. I was like getting sent to the headmaster every day.
Were the other kids British kids, or were they?
I was wearing these like green jackets with red ties, and my hair was like parted right. Sounds like all kinds of things that.
Yeah.
That
you're very
like
proper.
You look at pictures of me back then, and you look at me now. You're like, damn, that's where. And it's like, so that was a couple years. Then I went to a public school in Zambia. I got caned a couple times.
You get caned?
Wait, how'd you get to Zambia?
My dad just.
You moved the family?
What
or
my
you?
Dad was doing.
Was he a smuggler?
Shout out.
At one point, he had started a shoe business. He was importing shoes.
He was a cobbler.
An import-exporter.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, so he moved the family to Zambia.
Yeah.
So he had to, things got a little hot in Zimbabwe, so he had to,
I don't know what happened,
pick
there.
Up and leave. Yeah.
So we went to Zambia, and then
and then you got caned. How'd you get caned?
Yeah.
I was just a bad guy. I just didn't want to sit down and write.
But you were like 9 years old?
I wanted to be outside playing all day long.
And it was 9, 10 years old?
Must have been like that, yeah.
They cane you in school?
Of course.
I mean, is that official allowed? Like teachers do it? Or do they have a person who comes in?
No, it's whoever.
Because that kind of...
Wait, that's a great job.
Well, I'm just saying, like, people...
Official cane.
I'm in the belief that teachers shouldn't be armed in America.
I think I came running home once, too, and I was like, I can't do this again or something. I can't remember.
But if teachers can... I mean, I'm against teachers being armed in America, like Trump has proposed, but if teachers in other countries can cane kids, I'm starting to rethink this, because you got to be trained to cane properly, right? No?
Probably. So you're saying if they can cane, we should be able to shoot? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying teachers do anything.
I mean, look,
hot take.
I will say this. If we can convince everyone in America to be as afraid as my peers were of being caned,
yeah,
then we wouldn't need guns.
So maybe
that's actually
so maybe we should bring caning back. Bring here.
That's a good idea.
Trump.
No, I'm on board. I'm
I was
not even kidding.
Terrified. My peers would do anything not to get caned, and I was like, "Come on, bring it on, baby!" Like I want to feel it, but that's the thing. So I guess before guns, there were canes, and then people like me were like, "Fuck it, just slap me on the ass with a stick, and I'm down with that." And then
yeah, but how bad?
And then someone was like, "I guess we need guns to prevent this guy from acting up." So they
like for real, how bad did the caning hurt?
I don't remember. Kind of felt good, I think.
You don't have scars?
I'm just joking. No, I don't have scars.
It must be not the real... I feel like in Singapore you get scarred when you get caned.
You're saying Singapore has stronger canes?
It was... I don't think I went to like 10th degree caning.
I see.
Just different degrees. This child level caning?
Yeah.
Again, that's an idea for American schools.
Those kids are pretty rowdy. That's not a bad idea.
I'm going to propose this the next town hall at Long Island City, the next school meeting. I'm going to say,
caning prevents guns.
Well, in Sri Lanka, it happens in the household. Like, your parents will, you know, smack you if you're not doing well.
I mean,
is that how your parents were?
I can't remember. Probably.
You know, like...
Once in a while. But I would run away. Like, I would fight back kind of thing.
I mean, my son has a book about schools around the world, like what kids do every day. And the Uganda chapter, I don't know, do they have caning in Uganda? Because the Uganda chapter.
Not when I was there, because I went to an international school in Uganda.
Because it mentions that there's 69 kids in the class in Uganda. So I was like, how would a teacher keep them in order? But I always wondered that, but now I know. The fear of the cane.
Zambia. So you're in Zambia.
Moving. So hence the name of my band, Ikram and the Immigrant Groove. My whole life.
Seamless.
My whole life was spent with
grooving.
You know, traveling all over the place, not necessarily knowing what status I had. So I felt like, you know, I was just a part of everything.
And you guys are playing March 17th.
Yeah.
Let's do the plug now, and then we'll keep going with the interview. Why not? Do it now.
Exactly. So,
I'm coming to see you. I have two tickets.
Ikram and the Immigrant Groove. Check it out. Follow us on Ents. If you want to hear about where we're going to be playing next, we're going to be doing a tagine thing every week, actually. Tagine, it's a Moroccan joint. 34th and I think it's like 38th and 7th Ave.
Now I'm the mood joint means a restaurant?
No, it's a restaurant. It's like a Moroccan hookah.
Tagine with the rice and the and bowls with the lamb.
We're going to be, it's just going to be a scene, 9 to 1 a.m. You just come in, you dance.
Oh, you're going to be playing music?
Yeah, yeah. It's a weekly thing. We're going to try and create a scene.
Cool. Okay. So back to, so you're in Zambia.
So we're in Zambia, yeah.
And then you're like 10 years old, 12 years old. You're getting caned.
Getting caned.
Yeah. Getting hit. And then you move to, what is your dad doing there? You're not sure, import, export?
I don't know. just Ensign. Ask you, tell him to Ensign. You just get him on the pod.
What's his Ensign handle? We'll have to ask
him. And then you move to Uganda.
Yeah.
And then you're there for a couple years?
Yeah.
What's the decision to move to America? When does that come
That's
about?
The dream.
I mean,
everyone wants to move to America.
So they were trying to go to America this whole time, but
the whole time.
Yeah.
But everyone wants to come to America.
So how old are you when you moved to America then?
15.
14.
And your whole family came?
No, me and my mom and my, who else? Can't remember.
Did your dad come?
He came after the fact.
And you landed in, where'd you say?
We landed in
Plymouth Rock.
In Washington at Dulles Airport, Fairfax County.
Okay. I mean, what town?
Virginia.
They were in Virginia. We have a lot of listeners down there. Fans of Asian Babyface.
What up, Virginia?
I don't know what we're laughing about.
This guy just laughed. He's a man of... He's a...
No, okay. So, but then what about school?
Like, we should talk about comedy in Africa. How do we bring more comedy to Africa?
I think they have a lot of comedy in Africa.
Do they?
Trevor Noah is from South Africa.
Was he a comedian?
Yeah. Stand-up comedian. I think it's still pretty new.
Like when I was growing up,
outside of South Africa, they had a long time. But
there was never a scene where like one guy or girl got up in front of a group and just told jokes.
Really?
No, never saw that. That was new to me when I came here. Just someone standing up in front of you and being like, "Okay, now I'm going to make you laugh for like, 10 minutes."
Did they have any kind of performance? Because a lot of countries,
no, music, hands down. Like you,
but I mean, any
dancing.
Type of comedy performance.
I never saw it.
Clowns on stage or like any type of
a country with no laughter.
I'm not kidding.
I don't think I saw clowns.
No, because a lot of countries.
I think I saw my first clown in America. Actually,
America started that way. Most stand-up comedy cultures are born under some type of clowning on stage or like. Physical comedy or two-man things, you know, two guys, like, it's scripted, and then it eventually gets into saying whatever you want on a
stage.
Also,
like, theater and stuff, it's interesting. That's an interesting thing. Have you been anywhere in Africa?
I've been to Zambia.
This is like, oh, right, what brought you there?
I went to the waterfalls, right?
Victoria Falls?
Victoria Falls.
You've done Zimbabwe, too, because it's on the border.
Look at that. Didn't even know it.
Oh, you know what? I didn't go to the waterfalls. We went on a safari, right?
We?
My parents and my brother. My brother was living in Malawi.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. You got to get your brother on the pod. That guy's crazy.
Good idea.
He's been cool.
The boss doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah. So Tyler was living in Malawi, so we went out there. It was amazing. I also went to South Africa
Malawi's
before
amazing.
That. Yeah, so we went on a... We didn't go to the waterfall. We went to whatever. We went and saw animals and everything. It was great.
Yeah, I feel like...
So what type of entertainment was there then? Live entertainment?
I think it was
outside
just
of music.
Drumming, dancing, singing.
Okay.
That was the entertainment I grew up around. Every now and then you'd get like a Denzel Washington film that someone found a theater and you just go like I think the first movie I ever saw was Mississippi Masala.
Creed.
Okay, y'all do me a favor. If you're listening to this, please ens me what you think about this pod. This particular one?
Not this particular one.
Because I want to know how crazy it is. You think this is a crazy one?
I think it's unusual. I think most people don't laugh 75% of the time at nothing. I think most of our guests have stories and answer questions. Whereas you just sit there hysterically laughing.
Well, he's got a bone to pick with us. He's very upset, the boss man.
What's he upset about?
We haven't been answering enough.
So oh, yeah. How do we get you all to
ents?
He's
protesting.
First of all, I need access to ents on to the Lost in America page on Ints. It's all controlled by Kaplan.
I don't know how to access it.
Exactly. He doesn't know how to access
told
it.
Nobody ever told me how.
Just open your phone.
No, mine is for me, Turner Sparks, but no one follows me. They follow Lost in America.
They don't follow Lost in America either.
It's because you don't Ints.
Oh, yeah.
Just switch phones for a week. All text messages, all Facebook messages, all that. Try that. Yeah. I did that with a friend. And I also switched credit cards with a friend once.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
That was fun.
Here's what I'm going to do. I want to formally apologize to you that we haven't been incing.
Oh, well.
And I will say this on the podcast. We're going to be incing more. Nice. I mean, I can't. Well, I can't.
I was incing for a while.
I can't talk
about it. I was incing for, you know, but I'll get back to it.
I got to get that particular thing on ints.
Yeah. We should. We'll,
wait, I have. Okay, do me a favor. Both of y'all ints now. Make an ints right now. So that people know how it works.
This will be good radio.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Do you have your phones?
I have my phones outside.
No, I turn my phone off.
You leave your phones outside?
I don't use my phone while I'm recording.
I turn it off during a podcast like a human. You're just sitting there on your phone the whole time while we're trying to interview you.
He doesn't know this.
You're looking down, trying to see who's tweeting at you or something.
Oh,
I don't know what's the new Twitter.
Speaking of which, you know, we were talking about this. We went out. We've mentioned this in the air that we had a big Lost America holiday party.
When was that?
Well, you came with us. You tagged along.
That was a couple of weeks there.
Yeah, but you show up at this bar and you don't bring your wallet.
Nothing.
He brings nothing. And then I was going back and listening to, you know, the first time you were on, and that was you told us that was the origin story of Venmo.
Which one?
Was that you didn't have your wallet. You guys were out one night.
That's true. And then this time around, I paid your brother in Bitcoin.
Right. So you've
exactly.
So that's the evolution. You haven't, all this technology, you still don't need to bring your wallet anywhere. You can now. But
you can use your phones to pay for people.
Yeah. So. That's
I happen to be one of the founders of Venmo, contrary to popular belief, but...
Who doesn't believe it?
Everyone listening to this pod?
Oh, probably true. Yeah.
But,
So
when you were in Fairfax, Virginia, did you...
Wait, how does it lead from... Sorry, how does it lead from playing drums in the high school band to then all of a sudden you're at Penn and you create Venmo?
That was it.
Like, that's...
That was it. That was it.
That was all that happened? And why... Can I ask this...
I met my roommate. So how I got from high school to Penn, that's a little hazy, but
for you,
yeah, but
you don't remember.
I mean, what, you just apply to college? Everyone's. I don't even think I applied.
But you
to
said
school.
You had no formal education, and then you just show up at high school in America, and then all of a sudden you're really good at school. Do you know what I mean?
Compare school to like growing up in Zimbabwe. It's like
hard knocks.
Yeah. Wait, no, please do.
But no, so anyway.
Yeah, so what was school like? Yeah, compare school.
Compare, answer your
How
question.
Was it like to adjust
school
to school?
Was cool. It was interesting. It was fun. The thing is, I was consumed with playing tennis and music.
So then would you, because I think we have to wrap up in a minute.
There's a big meeting here today.
We've heard.
But yeah, there's some voiceover happening.
Is there, any thought of moving back to places you've lived before, leaving the United States? Are you happy? Do you want to stay here? Like, what's
that's an interesting question. I was talking to an Uber driver the other day about this. He was saying that's another ends you guys can play. He was talking about
get your Uber driver sends you.
He was talking about when you come here. So he's from New Guinea. Mom's from Senegal. I think his dad's from New Guinea. He was talking about. He's got smirking at me. He finds me funny. I should get into comedy. So
just continue. That's Kaplan's normal face.
So he's telling me the story about how when he left his family,
right?
He found it hard, or he still finds it hard to ever go back because there's so much pressure for him to have achieved this. Like, why would you leave your family in New Guinea and come home without $1 million?
Yeah.
Because the reason you come to America
is to get $1 million.
The first is to make a lot of money. And, like, you know, it's the land of opportunity, da da da. And then he got here and he's like, man, the only opportunities for me are cab drivers and da da da. Thank God for Uber, I guess. More freedom. But the point is, he still feels so. I asked him, like, would you ever go back home? I was like, what, we should. And then he's like, I don't know. But there's a lot of pressure because if I go back home, they're all going to say, it's kind of like if you get a college degree. And then you end up being like an artist. Your family's like, well, why'd you get a college degree?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, well.
It's like going back to your high school reunion
in America
without doing anything.
Right. And yeah, exactly. That's a good, that's a
it's
better.
It's like going back to your high school reunion without having a giant podcast to brag about to everyone.
Right.
So, all the cheerleaders. But you created Venmo. You've made it. You are the success. You're an American success story.
I'm trying to be a musician now. I'm trying to get Ikram and the Immigrant Groove off the ground.
So you're not going back
to you.
So you're playing a concert.
So what's the answer?
Would I go back? Absolutely. When I'm on tour.
But not to live.
No, I would live. To me, I'm not. I don't really care about where I live, honestly, because I'm so used to moving from place to place. It's more about who I'm with at the time, and that, like, so if someone was like, "Yo, Ikram, you want to marry me and move to fucking China, or
ladies,
Vietnam, or whatever," and I was in love at the time, I'll move on the dot. Like, that's the thing. I move. You kind of move to where your people are.
Right.
Home is where the groove is.
Home is the earth.
Right. That's the name of the first album.
Home is where the groove is. I like
Immigrant
that.
Groove.
Home. Immigrant Groove. Yeah, so listen to our music. So yeah, another thing that we're going to be doing as part of our initiative is, this is actually my way of hoping to help people, is Ikram and the Immigrant Groove will be teaming up with legal counsel for immigrants that are having trouble navigating this whole landscape, especially given the current climate of things. So if you come to our show, you could talk to a lawyer.
You have a lawyer at the show?
We will have a lawyer at the
Amazing.
Show.
Amazing.
Wow.
And I'm going to get you applying for citizenship soon.
Yeah. And
we can't ask, don't ask other legal questions to this lawyer, though, right? Just immigration.
No, I mean, look, the thing is, I have friends that are in shitty situations that relate to this, and I happen to be surrounded by lots of people that have knowledge about how this whole thing works. So part of our initiative, our goal is to connect people that come to our shows, if they happen to be in, if they have to happen to have immigrant struggles, with people that can help them.
So, all right, that's a good
idea.
Amazing.
That's March 17th.
At
the Knitting Factory
in Brooklyn.
The Knitting Factory. Yep.
I will be there.
And then every Thursday,
I might be
at Tejin, until we get fired.
All right. If I don't make it to the Knitting Factory, I'll make it to Tejin.
Yeah, come to Tejin on a Thursday night. You can do a hookah. You could do a nice chicken.
Hookah and a chicken.
Hookah and a nice chicken. Shout out!
I love a good chicken tagine.
All right,
Ikram,
thank you.
Thank you for doing it. We love you.
Thanks
for letting us be in this studio week.
Make sure you ends twice a week.
Done. That's easy.
It's easy. You could easily do that. No matter where you are.
Yeah. We'll start ending
Jennifer,
certain things from the show.
Thank you so much for taking to ends the way you have. I think people love hearing you. So
Jennifer Miles Peake, shout out! All right, Cap. Ikram, thanks for doing it, Cap.
Let's get to the news.
Let's get to the news.
All right.
To Ikram for being on the pod. He had to go back upstairs.
They got a big meeting today. They were like
this
very
studio,
concerned that we were taking Ikram's time away from this meeting.
Exactly. This studio don't pay for itself.
Yeah.
So.
The boss man's got to lay down the law. They got some new ideas they're going to run by today.
He's got to go make some money. First story of the week, Capel, and this comes to us from the Shanghaias. To teach his son a lesson, father kneels down and gives himself a lashing.
Oh, okay, right.
In a recent video, a dad in China is seen scolding his son for taking his mobile phone to school to play games. In the video, the dad blames his son for taking his phone to school. The son turns it back and blames his dad by quoting a Chinese idiom, an ancient Chinese proverb. He says, to teach without severity is the teacher's laziness.
Ooh.
Means it's the dad's fault for not teaching him well enough. And the dad says, all right, if that's my fault, whip me. So he gets the son to get a whip out, and he whips the dad. What do you have to say? Because you're
very
much...
I have so many questions right now.
Okay.
One, who's filmed this?
The daughter filmed it.
The daughter films the son whipping dad.
Yes.
Okay, that's
and
totally believable.
And it's gone viral on the Chinese internet.
Because I know Ruby would love to film dad getting beaten up, so all right. That's one. How old are the kids?
And the kids are like teenagers, so I feel like these are your future kids, because your kids already kind of do whatever they want.
Yeah.
They're in charge, clearly, right?
I mean, it's genius, like, reversing it on your parents, and the only way you could do that is with a Chinese idiom, which is another reason to learn a Hello Chinese app, and why I maybe shouldn't allow Teddy to learn it. Because if he told me I got to beat you up for this, I would say no, but if he does it in Chinese, what am I going
to
do?
Yeah, you have to do it. That trumps. It's 5,000 years of history trumping ours. So, but also, here's the thing. The father does it. I have a question for you, because the father here does it with the idea that when his son whips him, his son will feel bad about whipping him. Would Teddy feel bad about whipping you? And so that would be teaching him his lesson by you getting hurt.
Yeah, I think he would. I don't think he'd want to whip me, to be honest.
Okay.
We have a good relationship. I think he – but
– but and Ruby?
She'd probably like to, yeah. She'd beat the crap out of me. But
she would like to?
She would like to hit me a few times.
Oh,
yeah.
Wouldn't learn her lesson.
So that's a really interesting parenting tip. We might have to get a Chinese dad on to teach me.
Well, that's just like the height. That's such a non-American thing to do. Because Americans, I see a lot of times you'll be in a restaurant and there'll be people with kids and the kids will be like bugging the waiter and the waiter will be like, oh, you can't do that here. And then the parent will be like, see, the waiter, like the parent... I rarely
right, we use an outside influence to authority, right? Because we can't get our kids to do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like at that's what I was saying. Like at tennis lessons, when Teddy's not listening, I'm not the dad who's like, Teddy, pay attention. I wait for Coach Juan. Coach Juan is he might be Haitian. He cracks the whip and so figuratively, and then bam, Teddy listens.
Exactly.
But I don't even see, like, the thing is, like, video games, I don't even, like, in America, like, we wouldn't even be able to, like, discipline our kids, like, oh, you shouldn't bring your video games to school. Like, we'd be like, oh, well.
Share them with your friends.
Share them with your friends. I don't know. I'm like,
this is such an intense story, though, because not only does that not wait for anyone else to take responsibility, he literally beats himself.
Yeah.
No American parent that would do that.
Because an American parent would go to the school and blame them.
Yes.
For, like, you.
Well, if your kid gets a B, you want to get the teacher fired. Right, that's American.
Right, so the Chinese thing is, if my kid gets a B, I beat myself. Or I'm
yeah, I get myself fired.
Like, did do you know any other dad? Like, did Yaya's dad ever have to do it? Like, this is how he disciplined, or no?
I don't think he ever beat himself. I don't know. We would have to ask her. I can't say 100%, but I would assume not. I would assume he was a tough dad.
It's outside the box thinking. I'll give it that. It's something to.
It's
one of those ideas you hear a new idea. I've learned this from Ikram.
Yes.
When we were talking about business. Because the man's a genius.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hear an idea, you gotta marinate on it a little bit. You got to think about it. You can't dismiss it.
Yes.
You do not dismiss any new idea.
Yes.
Think about it. I'm going to think about that. I'm going to, you know,
have a
weigh
think
it.
Is what the Brits
say. I'm going to wait a little. And then as the years go by, I might turn to that. You know, it's like a coach. You got to turn to a play. You run the trick play. You never know when you're going to run it.
All right.
You go save it for the Super Bowl. I might save that for down the road.
Future of Kaplan is getting whipped by his kids.
Yeah.
Story number two.
Yes.
From the Shanghaiest again. We're staying in China for this one. And Urumqi air flight. Urumqi is a domestic airline in China, but it's also a province of China.
All right.
An Urumqi air flight attendant has been suspended from her job after a video of her chowing down on a meal left over by passengers went viral on Chinese social media. She got fired because she ate the rest of the food.
Wait, leftovers? Like it was on people's plate and she took it? Or like stuff?
It seemed so in the video. It seems like it was just uneaten. Like, you have 45 meals to give out and only 37 people on the flight, and so there's, like, 7 left over.
They're not allowed to eat those?
Exactly. So they're not allowed to eat those.
Are you sure? It's not this. They're taking it.
That's what it looks like. Even if, but here, I'll go this far. Even if it is leftover food, who cares? Hmm. Like, we're not supposed to eat leftovers anymore?
In America, I've seen the flight attendants eating the meals.
Waste not, want not.
And sometimes it's like, get up. You know, you're only working for a few hours here. It's not a long flight. Get up. But, you know.
What do you mean get up?
Get up and what are you eating for? You have to take a break? It's like a 3-hour shift here. You really got to take a break to eat?
Oh, you're on the. You just don't like the idea that they took a break.
Yeah.
Oh, I think she got fired because it was seen as uncouth to eat someone else's food.
Yeah.
But I will say the Chinese internet's on her side about this. They think the problem is the person who filmed it should be fired, if anyone. They said, "Don't you can't shame someone for wanting to eat."
Like,
plus, it was a morning flight. She could have been hungover. These flight attendants, they party.
Well, I don't know. It's weird to me that someone would find that something worth filming. Like, oh, I see a flight attendant eating. It's not like seeing, like I got to film that. Like, what?
It seems like an American thing to do to me, to rat someone out by video. Like,
but, yeah, but I wouldn't even think, like, this is something
I'm gonna
that's
film
wrong.
You.
I got to film you. Yeah.
Why is that? That's become, like, the highest form of, like, insult. Like, I'm going to film this if something bad is happening. But you're right. That's not even bad.
I have never flown to China. How are the flight attendant? Are there flight attendant men or is it just women?
Rarely is there men.
Okay. I know they.
It's usually very attractive women. It's like the old days.
Yeah, that's what I was picturing. It's like the old days. Like, that's why they're not allowed to eat.
By the way, that's what the rest of the world is.
Right. Americans, you still smoke a cigarette and you know, if you're a businessman, you bang the flight attendant after.
All of that.
Don't you think they should have one airline called, like, Madman Air that would be, like, old school?
Yeah. Or billion-dollar idea. They tried that. You remember Hooters Airlines? Hooters
but I'm,
had
I'm
an
classing
airline.
It up a little bit. Not Hooters. I want the flight attendants to be in, like, the old school flight attendant outfits.
Ooh, I like this idea that you have to wear a suit to
yeah,
be,
the
be
man,
on
the to
board.
Be on the board, if you're a passenger, you got to be in a suit.
Or if you're a woman, you have to be totally dressed
you're
up.
You're allowed to smoke.
Yeah. I think this is a great idea.
Yeah. Whiskey.
When I was a kid, Myrna Sparks would always tell us, if you dress, we always had to dress up to go on airlines because if you dressed up, you might get bumped up to first class.
Oh, yeah.
I think it did happen a couple times. And then somewhere along the way, people just decided to wear sweatpants and the whole thing went
to
shit.
Yeah, nowadays it's not like the people in first class. I've maybe flown once or twice for work. But the people in first class are like, it's like they're like the biggest slobs on the plane. They're all in like girls in Lululemon and sweatpants. And because they have such a great thing that they can nap in. They got a chair that goes back all the way. So they're preparing for, like, nap time.
Get them out of here.
There's no men in suits anymore in first class. It's a disgrace. They should just eat. The flight attendants should be able to eat whatever they want on an American plane because the passengers aren't worthy.
I agree. All right, last news story of the week. Again, back to China. Three stories in China. Ding, ding, ding.
On brand episode.
Comes to us from The Telegraph.
All right.
Kaplan.
The Telegraph.
China has launched its latest crackdown against a phenomenon which just will not seem to die in rural areas of China. You know what the phenomenon is, Kaplan?
No.
Funeral strippers.
Ooh.
Yeah. We talked about these. I think we covered this 6 months to a year
ago. Our news team was the first on this.
The Ministry of Culture said last month that it was targeting striptease and other obscene, pornographic, and vulgar performances at funerals, weddings, and traditional Chinese New Year public gatherings. Why? I don't understand why.
I mean, let the dead have their day. I mean, what, you know, just... What, why
I think
this is a police state, and it's worse.
I mean, well, it is now a police state.
Shout out
to Xi Jinping.
Oh, hell, great new leader.
I think that I'm 100% on your side on this. I think this is invasive. If you want to have a funeral at your stripper, a stripper at your funeral to cheer everyone up, why not? Have at it. We have a death tax in America. Yeah. I'm against that, and I'm against this idea of death taxing fun at your funeral.
This very alt middle of you, to tie the death tax into this.
If you should let people do whatever they want. They're dying.
Also, every once in a while they bury somebody who's actually alive. So it's a great way to make sure. Yeah, a little life. If you see a little movement in the pants or anything, you're like, oh, hold on, that guy.
I don't want to be out of bounds here, but why not give them? It should be a lap dance should be included on the dead guy. You're right. That way.
Don't you think though? We're assuming it's a man who dies here. Like I'm thinking, if like a woman dies, you know, the guy's a widower.
Get Chippendales out.
Well, the man is a widower who's not going to be able to see. You know, he's not. It's tough to get back out there. So you get him a woman. You get him a stripper.
Oh, so everybody gets female strippers?
Well, no, I'm saying you have female strippers. I was saying Chippendales. Yeah, if a guy dies, the widow gets a little Chippendales action.
Yes.
Do they have Chippendales in China? I'm not sure, but
we can dig it up.
We can $1 billion idea.
Yeah.
You brought Softy there. Why not Chippendales? But yeah, if a woman dies, then the husband left behind. You know, he get him a little show. I don't know. And the guests, you know, funeral attendants. I think one of the things that happens, especially when people are older and they don't have a lot of friends left or in the area, they move. It's very sad. You go to a funeral and there's like seven people there, right? It's depressing. It depresses the family member. They feel like, oh, my grandpa didn't have, you know, you feel bad for. What's the best way to pack the house?
Exactly.
I mean, this has got to be a show.
Yes.
You know?
And also, it's to the surviving spouse. Yeah. It's also sort of a bachelor party, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of everything now.
Yeah, because you're back.
The world has changed. Everything's merging.
It's a suggestion to celebrate the dead and honor them, but also move on.
Right, it's symbolic.
It's a new life.
Life goes on.
I'm sure there's an old proverb.
A Chinese idiom.
I'm sure there's a Chinese idiom that represents.
And if you want to tie it all together, if a kid's been misbehaving and a dad's there and he needs to get beaten by a stripper, then we could do that too.
You can do that too. All right, that's the podcast. Kaplan, thank you to Ikram Magdan Ismail. We will continue. We will be inting.
Nonstop. I'm going to answer everything. You're going to be so bored of my answering.
Get tickets to our live podcast March 14th. Get tickets to Ikram's band March 17th.
Get them now before the discount disappears.
Exactly. Get it in the comment. I mean, in the notes of this podcast. What should we do?
Get lost.
Get lost. It's undescribable. Happiness and music is inexplicable. Indescribable, the happiness of music is unconditional. The happiness of music is unbelievable. Indescribable, shake it down like you're gonna get gone. 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 Shake it down like you're gonna get gone.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.